This is the Bright Fire News Podcast with journalist John Christopher Collins, where the truth and facts are honored, pursued, discovered, and told. Welcome and thank you for listening to the Bright Fire News Podcast, igniting and fueling a bright fire of and for truthful and factual news.
In this episode, I speak with leading forensic anthropologist Dr. Erin Kimmerly as she talks about an investigation that took place regarding a reform school for boys and their mysterious disappearances. In her book, We Carry Their Bones, she discussed in the first chapter about how she did not want to go into a press conference right off the bat. She's a professional in her field and wants to stick to professional academic matters.
We, you know, started doing this work and got permission to do it, obviously, and started doing it. But we're trying to fly sort of under the radar, if you will, just knowing that, you know, it would be political. Certainly didn't have any sense of how big it would be, but we just wanted to get in and do the work sort of uninterrupted, and so that's what we did. And then when it came time to share the preliminary results, and at that point the family was going to the families were wanted excavation, they wanted access to the full property. We didn't have access to all of it, we only had access to part of it. So there were things that the families wanted and sort of next steps. And at that point we needed legislative, political support, but that meant public support.
What are some of the stories that you've heard in your time investigating this issue? Obviously talking to family members.
Yeah, we tried to talk with, and work with as many of the families as we could find, as well as men who had been at the school in the 1950s and 60s and released and, were coming forward to tell their stories of what had happened. And, I think it was just, on the one hand, story after story after story, what was sort of hit us was how similar they were, that these experiences were the same. It wasn't just one or two people. It was so much more widespread. Men, and people who never met each other, who never heard each other's stories. And so there was just so much credibility to what they said and the family's experience. And the families had been searching their whole lives, and many had visited the school in the 80s and the 90s and 2000s. So, it was like we were new to the story, but these are people who've been, searching for these answers and just having every door shut in their face.
Right. And, with the closure of the school in 2011, it was suggested by some of these poorly kept records that there could have been 31 boys that were buried in unmarked graves in this remote field by the school and Dossier. And, I'll tell you what, this is one of the scariest stories that I've heard when it comes to true crime in a while. It's just a very corrupt situation that was being dealt with here. And thankfully, you've been able to help bring some closure to a lot of people. I just think that's fantastic. Later, Dr. Kimmerly discussed what it's like being one of the few women in her field, but also how the field is changing.
Well, forensic anthropology, it's changing a lot. Most of my students by far today, and most of the students in graduate school in general today are female. But coming up in my entire committee was, four men, and certainly the leaders in the field, those who had, positions that, were in hiring positions or in, writing, doing the research, writing the text, everything has been predominantly men. And the work that I do with law enforcement and medical examiners is, similarly, it's predominantly male. Homicide investigations are predominantly male professions still today. And so, in many respects, working environment has, it's always been a good experience. I think it's been, I always say it like this, I find a lot more sexism in academia than in law enforcement, because there you're coming in as sort of this expert who has a, skill or knowledge or science that they need, and it's very valued. But even in academia today, there's still so much sexism, and it's not always what people think in terms of access, and so it's been a challenge.
Well, I imagine so. Dr. Kimmerly also offers up her final thoughts for those interested in going into this field.
Well, I think there's a lot of work to be done, so it's definitely a growing field. I think it's, you know, it's been a great career. I'm very passionate about it. It's, you know, it does require ultimately a PhD, so, you know, you definitely want to get your degrees and study anthropology, but I think that there are a lot of opportunities, and if you're interested in particularly the social justice or human rights approach, I think there's a need more than ever for that type of work. The forensics in general, though, is growing as well, and so there's a lot of opportunities if, you know, people are interested in DNA work, toxicology work, investigations in general. So it's, I think we're going to see it become much more female, because it seems to be who's going into this work.
Fantastic. Well, I thank you so much for your time. Everyone that's listening, go check out Dr. Kimberly's podcast, Signal 8, with Ben Montgomery. I think it would be a great resource for those who are interested in further discussion. Thank you for listening to this episode. For more, go to BransonPodcastNetwork.com. You can also go to my website, JohnChristopherCollins.com, for more stories. Be sure to sign up for alerts to get them in your inbox.
Thank you for listening to the Bright Fire News Podcast with journalist John Christopher Collins. Special thanks to everyone who makes this podcast possible. Comments and questions can be sent in by going to johnchristophercollins.com or the Bright Fire News Podcast.com. Thank you for listening, and please join us next time.